And this is the interactive portion of the program. We take your phone calls. Bobby Merrill with us, her book, Compelling Conversations with Dolphins and Whales in the Wild, Vital Lessons for Living in Joy and Healing Our World. I like that. We'll be back with a few more questions for Bobby and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Bobby Merrill. Bobby, I spent 9 years in the Navy, not in a submarine, but what did you learn about sonar from the dolphins?
Well, when I went to the Silver Banks in the Dominican Republic to swim with the whales, because it's legal there, I had many wonderful experiences, and it was terrifying at first, but it got more and more comfortable.
Yeah.
And then one of the whales actually hit me with a blast of sonar, and there was a doctor, a young doctor, in the water with me, and he hit both of our lungs with the sonar, and our lungs stopped breathing.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes. And so I was glad I had a witness to what happened.
Was it the concussion of the sonar?
Yes.
Okay.
And so we both got to experience how strong that can be. And we both did let it go, thank goodness, and wasn't angry at us and really trying to kill us. But what I got was one of these telepathic messages with that, is that's what the sonar is doing to us. And so I had this message. So I was already part of an activist group.
Mm-hmm.
And they were concerned about the sound of the sonar, the extreme sound of it, and bothering the dolphins and whales in their habitat. And that's what our concern was. And so when I told them about this, they thought I was crazy. And so I just started to chart, because at that time the Navy sonar exercises were announced.
Right, and we think they were beaching whales, don't we?
Yes, and so I noticed that when there were strandings, that I would check this chart of their announcements of their activities, and that they had been active before the strandings. So I wrote an article called "The Beach Canaries" that went viral on the internet, and I posted that in February of the year that this all came out. And then in March was the Abaco stranding, where it really killed, you know, the dolphins in
Grand
Canyon.
It was wiping them
out.
And
so it was proven, actually, by a Navy man, so it really hurt his heart, you know, to have the experience. But it was proven, and Congress even actually passed a law against using the sonar because of it. But because we're at war, and we always are, we don't have to follow the
protocols,
the rules, and so it's still in the water, and so that's a problem. I was very close to the Navy. Growing up, I grew up next door to the Barbers Point Naval Air Station on Oahu.
That's right, of course.
And we were plantation people, and we rented the land to them. And so they let us come and use their officers' club and their officers' beach club. So I grew up there. That's where I was surfing. And so I'm very close to Navy people. So it was really hard for me. I was in conflict for a long time about what to do about that. But I thought, well, you know, if they really understood what was happening, they would want to know as well. So I finally came out with it. And then it was proven, and they didn't need me. But the fact that it's just kind of, it's known and understood, and it's been proven, but it's just still, it's gone kind of quiet. People don't think about it. And when there's a stranding on the news, they usually say we don't know, or they say it's some kind of a red bloom of some sort, and that's, you know, not really true. We do know.
You don't.
We really have to make a decision along with all our other decisions about the climate and other species of what we want to do about that.
What would you say is the best lesson you learned from the dolphins and whales?
The best lesson I learned, the biggest one, is they say They're basically challenging us to be loving and kind in every moment, and not to leave that place within ourselves, and get crabby and angry and reactive. They say basically, if we can hold that level of harmony and kindness in our hearts at all times, that's what our hearts serve as a magnet, and we know that in terms of our science. We actually, in our quantum physics, the quantum science, we know that we are a magnet. And so if we can have a loving and kind heart, we can be attractive to our dreams.
That's amazing.
Our dreams will draw to us because they're drawn to the attractiveness of the kindness.
Do you know if Flipper is still alive?
There are several Flippers. I told you earlier that I swam with them.
Right.
With them, the ones that were trained. They're in Cuba. They were sold to Cuba.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And the ones we swam with were still in the pen because they had a baby with them. And they weren't ready to ship. They had been purchased by the owner that bought them in Cuba, but they weren't ready to ship the baby yet.
Did you get close to a baby dolphin? Are they mischievous?
They're really altered. They're just so sweet and cute and curious. They don't seem mischievous. They seem more just kind of curious and very excited.
Spunky.
To see the humans.
I bet they are,
And they get the parents show them off. You can tell they're being presented.
How close do they come to a human in terms of space?
I've had them come pretty close only because the parent was also there. The parent would.
Okay, made them comfortable.
Close, yes.
That's an amazing thing.
I've never had one swim away from a parent and come up to me. They don't tend to swim away from their parents. They're always just right with them.
Let's take some calls here for you. Let's start by going to Hawaii. Bob in Maui, welcome to the show. Hey, Bob, aloha.
Aloha to both of you from Maui, Hawaii. My wife and I have lived here for 40 years.
Great spot.
For 5 years of that time, we had a whale-watching business in Lahaina Harbor, where we live, in Lahaina.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
We know quite a bit about whales. We had some real experiences with humpbacks. They come down here to Maui about this time of year, and they stick around until about March. And they don't eat anything while they're here. They eat all of their food up in Alaska, where they live in the rest of the year. They eat stuff a little creature called a krill. So they come down here, and this is their vacation playground between Maui and Lanai and Koholawe. And we had that 36-foot sailboat and a 56-foot sailboat in Lahaina Harbor, splits 5 and 6.
What kind of whales are they, Bob, and how big are they?
They're called humpback whales.
Oh, the humpbacks. They're pretty big size.
Yeah, the reason I called, I really wanted to answer the question, how long does a whale live? Well, different species of whales live different lengths of time. But a humpback lives about the longest of the whales. It can live to be 100 years old. It's very similar to a human.
Oh, my God.
100 years old.
That is something. And can you tell if a whale gets old?
I couldn't, but you can feel the intelligence from it. When you're out on the boat, I mean, I couldn't communicate with it, but I could feel its presence even when I couldn't see it. And of course, they love to swim under the little 36-foot boat called the whale mist on their back, where their white bellies would show, and they would go under sometimes in pairs, stand them underneath the boat, and they were bigger than the boat. I mean, if they wanted to destroy us, they could in one second. But they're very friendly, and they love human beings. And there was one that would be called a professor whale. I don't know how old he was, but probably, my guess would be maybe 60 to 80 years old.
That is amazing.
Whale.
Wow.
And we were the second largest whale watching boat business in Lahaina Harbor. Next to the biggest one was Pacific Whale Foundation. But anyway, they would lay up. I saw the professor whale come up on the side of the whale watching boat for Pacific Whale Foundation, which is about 12 foot out of the water at the deck level. And he stayed there for 5 minutes. He let the people come up and pet him. I mean, this, I know this sounds impossible, but I was only 200 feet away, and I saw it with my own eyes.
I believe it. No, I believe they are friendly, Bobby, aren't they? Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.
That's great. That's a great story, Bob. You know, I also went to see the gray whales in the in Mexico, and they're called the friendly whales, and they go up to the boats and let people pet them. But I've never seen a humpback get pet, so that's
something
news for me.
Where are the areas where the dolphins and the whales are the most prevalent?
Are you asking Bob?
No, you. Bob's gone.
Oh, okay. What were you wanting to know? Where the
what area of this planet are there more whales and more dolphins?
They travel, and
like he was talking there from Alaska to Hawaii. That's a poke, isn't it?
That's a trip, and they do it every year. They have their children, they have their babies in the sanctuary.
How do they even know where to find the place?
You know, it's interesting. You asked earlier about, you know, are they extraterrestrial? In a way, they seem extraterrestrial, not just because of the way they look, but because of that level of intelligence. It's
just
beyond what we know. So I don't even know if they're using a navigation system or if they just know. A lot of times their songs are the same on opposite ends of the world. They're singing the same song. They have a connection. I don't know if they just know how to get there or if they actually use the navigational system. I don't have the answer to those things, but I do know that their brains are enormous and they have many more folds than ours do, and they can vocalize on just so many levels.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Bobby, but can you make a sound like a whale so we can get an idea of what we're talking
no,
about?
No, but you can. I'm going to let you do that.
You can't. You can't even do it.
It's a deep, what I've heard is a deep groan. But it's at a very low hertz level. Their sounds.
It's like a hum, isn't it?
Yes. And their sounds can be outside of the range of our hearing.
Where a dolphin is more of a cackle, isn't it?
They definitely cackle. They squeal and they vocalize. They do clicking. They have many sounds, but some of them are meaningful, like the clicking is the sonar. So if you hear clicking,
okay,
they're using
it. Yeah, we used to hear that a lot in the Flipper show, that clicking sound.
Yeah.
Let's go to Michelle in Massachusetts, first time caller. Hi, Michelle, go ahead.
Hi, how are you, Bobby?
Good.
Hi, fine.
Good, Michelle.
Listen, I had this cat named Misha, and she took me on a 5-minute walk up in the sand pit behind my house. And then she took me up this hill,
uh-huh,
and she showed me 2 high-power rifles.
Oh.
And I took them, and I brought them to the police, and I told them where I found them. Kids were shooting wild animals up in the sand
pit. Oh, jeez. And how did she take you to it? How did that happen, Michelle?
She just somehow got my attention and wanted me to go for a walk with her. So we went for a 5-minute walk. And I couldn't believe it. She walked me 5 minutes up the sand pit, then up a hill, and there were the guns.
That's a smart animal. Jeez.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, she was trying to get my attention going in circles. And she wanted me to go with her. And I told her no because I was busy. And I didn't go with her, and she never came home.
Oh, she ran away?
No, I think she got shot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was really smart.
She wanted to let you know there are kids out there with guns again. That's something. Animals are special. Do you have any other pets, Bobby?
I don't right now, but I've always have had them from childhood until...
Dogs, cats?
Both. Dogs, cats, turtles, guinea pigs, birds.
Yeah, we've all had those.
Love them all.
Next up,
all smart.
Oh, they are. Animals are brilliant. They are. We've got time for a couple more calls and a break, and then we'll come back with final calls. Monica in Oregon, welcome to the program. Hi, Monica.
Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
Okay, thank you.
Great.
No problem. I got quite an interesting little dolphin and I believe a whale story to share.
All right.
And this is off the coast of Japan. I was with somebody. This happened 24 years ago. We went to an area. I don't recall what it was, but there was a little pool with a trainer where people can come in and interact with the dolphins. So we went for it. And I want to say we had four, but I feel like there were three dolphins and then a small whale. Well, the whale, I believe he was not too much bigger than the dolphins. He was black. Well, he had a ball. And he always wanted me to throw the ball to him. He would kind of nose the ball to me. I'd back up. He'd open his mouth. He'd want that ball thrown to him. And they'd go around in a circle. And then the dolphins, they'd come around for pets, just take turns getting their pet. And then this is really weird. The trainer lady who was there, apparently, I don't understand this story. I was told that, well, you go toward them and makes them dizzy, but you walk away from them, then they come to you. I don't understand that, so I did that. Well, the dolphins, I had one guy, he just, boom, he knocked me right in the thigh, but it was all out of playfulness, of course, I could tell.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, during this interaction, I could hear the click, their sonar, but I could also hear these odd little high-pitched frequencies, and I suspect it's related to their sonar communication. There's a vibration there that it's not like anything I've ever experienced before. It's indescribable, but it was all great fun. These guys were excited, you could tell. And then they also had like a little gate where they could go swim out to the ocean, I believe, as they please, and come back. And that's pretty much all I can recall is, like I say, it's happened 24 years ago, but I feel like it should have happened here this last week.
You know what I get out of this, Bobby, thanks a lot, Monica, is a uniformity of stories with these creatures that they're happening. So it's not like a one-time episode. They happen all the time, don't they?
They do. And you know how you got hit in the thigh and then you felt that vibration? They might have been healing something.
That's a good question.
There's a story of a dolphin that hit a woman in the chest, and he hit her strong enough she had to go to the doctor, and they discovered a breast lump.
Whoa. So maybe it's not just healing, but it's awareness. They're trying to help you.
Yes, they're trying to make you aware. But it sounds like then they did some healing with you if you got that high-pitched frequency.
That's great. Monica, thanks. Appreciate that. And give out your website again, Bobby.
MakingRelationshipsWork.com.
And you're a parenting consultant as well. How are kids these days?
Yeah. Well, families are really having to deal with the kids and if they're doing a good job with the parenting or not.
And they're all home from school, most of them, aren't they?
Yes. And then the parents now have to not just take on, time with kids, but they really have to face who their kids are and how they are and what it's like to be with them all the time.
Absolutely.
And then they have to take on this task of the teaching, which isn't a great task, because a lot of the teaching is repetitive worksheets and things that I don't think are the most inspiring things anyway. And then the parents are stuck with having to do that.
Bobby, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll be back in a moment with Bobby Merrill and take final phone calls as we're talking about her experience with dolphins and whales and yours with your own pets. So make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back, Bobby Merrill with us as we talk about her research, compelling conversations with dolphins and whales in the wild. Dogs can sniff out cancer victims, Bobby. So I guess there's no reason why dolphins can't detect something wrong with a human when they're in the water with them, right?
Exactly. They also are able to see our skeletons, our skeletal structure, and so they can scan us and see what's within us. But they also just sense things.
That's amazing. How long can a dolphin stay outside of the water?
They can hold their breath. I think it's for about 30 minutes.
So that's about all, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they're conscious breathers, so they're like meditators. You know, they're consciously breathing in and exhaling. And
I've always seen that snout. Do they have gills, too?
No.
They don't have gills. So how are they? How do they breathe?
Just they breathe through that blowhole.
But they breathe oxygen through when they're above the surface, and then they just hold it when they're in the water?
Yes.
Oh, so they have to be above water to breathe.
Yes.
I see. So how do they sleep?
They sleep that with the half the brain goes to sleep while the other one is awake and breathing.
So they will sleep above water.
Well, they can stay, you know, they can rest just for 30 minutes, but they're asleep close to the surface. And so they can get some air.
I wonder if a dolphin knows how to dream. What do you think?
That's a really wonderful question.
I bet they do.
I'm fascinated by dreaming and what it all means anyway, what we're doing while we're dreaming. That, you know, you could tell your dog's dreaming when they're, you know, chasing and running, and you can tell they're definitely dreaming. But I don't know about the dolphins and whales. I don't know if they dream.
That's interesting. Let's go to the phones. Mayette is with us in New York. Hi, Mayette.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Season's greetings to the beloved Coast family worldwide.
Thank you very much, dear.
Bobby, I have a comment and then a two-part question. First, I appreciate your comments in terms of the importance of a kind heart. And you also bridged the gap when we can understand now what reactionary means, especially in these times.
Mm-hmm.
But my question deals with your thoughts around, we even recently hear instances of whales being beached up where they're stranded on shore, and it seems to be a horrible death. So I'd like your thoughts as to what's happening with that, and why does it seem to happen too often? And the second part deals with, you mentioned earlier that the dolphins gave you a plan, and I think it regarded your soulmate, but it could also deal with other things too. They gave you some blueprint for manifesting. So I'd like you to flesh that out a bit, and if you have my questions, I'll listen over the air.
And I've got them written down for you too, Bobby. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Perfect. Those are great questions. I like them. And I like your appreciation of the heart, because we're so addicted to fussing and complaining and thinking about the things we don't like and focusing on them. And they're really saying, you know, if we would bother to focus on our hearts and being kind, that we actually would draw that kind of a world to us. They really are clear that that's how you do that. And, you know, when somebody comes along and sees a dolphin, they instantly feel happy. You feel there's magic.
You really do. And they look so smooth. How do they feel when you touch them? Do they feel smooth?
You know, I've never touched one.
You're kidding me.
No, because I learned early on that when they're out in the open, if we touch them, we can infect them. We can give them.
Oh, really? Well, I didn't know that. Okay.
Well,
a couple of her questions. She wanted to know more about the beached whale situation.
Well, my experience is that's more the sonar than we realize it is.
I think so, too.
That's why I bring it up. It's really everywhere, and they just can't handle it. It's really too strong for them. And it actually explodes their ears and brains. And
oh.
It's very powerful, and it's really a problem for them. And that's why I think that whale just really wanted me to have that message. And I've been pushed by the dolphins a lot to bring that story out, even though I have a conflict with my own connection with the Navy.
How does your husband Tom feel about your relationship with dolphins and whales?
Well, he loves it because we've swum together with them, and they always show up. He never, well, he is a paddler and, you know, was a canoe paddle the Molokai Channel and has really been in the water his whole life, and he never had a connection with them until he went in the water with me. One of the things they do is they can create toroidal bubbles, and which are part of the quantum physics information for those who are interested in that. But they would put toroidal bubbles on a stack of them on each of my fingernails when I was in the water and they were there. I got such a kick out of it. And so I told him about it, and he really looked at me like, oh, my God, what am I getting into with this lady?
The dolphin lady.
We went swimming in the water together. He had a stack on every finger, and he looked at me, and he was like, oh, my gosh. So he was hooked after that.
Let's go to
and
Peter.
They knew. See, that's what's fun about them. They knew that was his hang-up. He just said, I'd gone too far as he was concerned.
They must be psychic or something.
They are definitely psychic.
Let's go to Peter in Florida. Go ahead, Peter. Welcome to the show.
Yes. It's always fascinated me why dolphins seem to evolve like humans. Even though they're in the water, they got a chimp brain. They live to be 70. They're so human and intelligent. Always fascinating. But my question is, do dolphins have a signature unique voice like the humans do? Are they unique in that way?
Or do they all sound the same, Bobby?
They have their own signature sound. They each do, it's like their name.
So their sounds are all different, basically.
But so they have their own name, but they can also do a chorus of just chatter. Because I don't understand, you know, I couldn't tell one name from another. I've read that they have their own signature sound. And so I would go in the water, and I would do a yee-haw under the water, and that was my sound, and they knew that. And then one day, only once, toward the end of my journey with them, I heard a dolphin do a yee-haw back at me.
like a parrot.
Yeah, it was like they were like the dolphins who have been able to actually vocalize a human word.
Where did the name Iwa come from for the dolphin?
The name what?
Was it Iwa or Iwa?
Eva. E-W, yeah, it's pronounced in Hawaiian. It's pronounced Eva. I don't know who named her. They gave her a Hawaiian name. I just connected with her recently. She's on the Big Island. She's 49 years old, so anybody traveling to the Big Island, go and see Eva at the Waikolo Hotel.
Let's go to Christine in Los Angeles. Hi, Christine.
Morning, George and Bobby. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning. Good to have you with us.
What a wonderful show tonight. I wanted to share a story. Back in January, my husband and I went down to the Long Beach Aquarium, and we took one of those whale-watching cruises. And we were out there for about an hour, and nothing was sort of going on. We didn't see anything, you know. So I sort of just closed my eyes, felt the sun on my face, and there was a little girl with her family sitting right in front of me. And every time the boat would sort of hit a wave and it would jump up, she'd laugh and sort of squeal. So, and it was very comforting. And every time she did that, I sort of would think and put these thoughts out there, you know, with my intentions of, you know, hey, we're out here, we come in love and peace, and we want to visit you and just feel your energy. And I did this for about 5 minutes, you know, and after about 10 minutes, all of a sudden, we came across this huge pod of dolphins. And I mean, the aide that was on the boat said it was about 300 or 400 dolphins. She said it was the biggest pod she'd ever seen.
Oh my God.
And it was just huge. And they started circling around the ocean, and they were just swarming the boat and coming up and jumping right in front of us and doing flips and squealing and making all kinds of noises. And I really felt like they were just responding back saying, hey, we heard you, you know, we're here, see us, enjoy us.
I agree.
You know, it was so wonderful. And then we did that for about 10 minutes, and then we kept moving on, and then we saw a little pod of whales. You know, it was two adults and a little calf, and they said they were migrating south for, you know, going to Mexico or something like that, you know. And then it was just so wonderful. It had me on such high energy. You know, I always felt that I sort of called them to me, you know, like I was using sonar like they do, you know. And then after that, we went back to the aquarium, and it was amazing. Like, almost every exhibit we went to, you know, penguins, the seahorses, several fish, they would just come up to me and, like, trying to interact with me, you know, and, you know, just follow me around the glass. And I've been to so many aquariums, and I've never had that happen. It was just absolutely an amazing day. I just wanted to share that story with you guys. Yeah. You know?
Thanks, Christine. Appreciate
it. That's really what their manifesting formula is, doing just what you did. It's just, you know, that with that kindness, just calling and yearning for them to come to you. And, you know, it is non-local communication, so I do believe the seahorses and the other, you know, encounters you had in the aquarium, you know, they were aware of your experience.
Oh, cool. Let's go to Richard in Los Angeles. Hey, Rich, go ahead.
Hey, George, really enjoy your show. You keep me up far too late too many times.
Perfect.
I have a bit of a story, if you have just a very short period of time.
Yeah.
I might be the only one, or the only one that I'm aware of. Perhaps Bobby can confirm it or not, to try to resuscitate a dolphin with mouth-to-hole respiration.
How would you do that?
Well, it was not successful. Fresh out of high school, I think the year was, oh my God, was it 1965, I believe. I got a job at the Miami Seaquarium. First as a diver and then as a show announcer, and I enjoyed the job so much that I would often go to work really quite early. I was at the aquarium very early one morning, and one of the dolphins in its own pool was bottom up at the bottom of the pool, and I could tell there was something wrong, so I dove in and brought the dolphin to the surface and tried to give it mouth-to-hole respiration. This was, as Bobby might know, a dolphin that was known as Carolina Snowball. Many years ago, the shrimpers off the coast of South Carolina discovered a white dolphin, an albino dolphin, swimming around their boats. And it became a news and television story. And the people from the seaquarium tried to capture this dolphin. The state of South Carolina issued a law that no dolphin could be captured within its state waters. But they lured the dolphin past the boundary line, captured it, brought it back to the seaquarium, and put it on display. Unfortunately, it only lasted maybe 2 or 3 years after it was at the seaquarium.
But
it was a beautiful, beautiful animal. And the aquarium was very sad to lose it.
That's a great story. All those stories are great, especially giving mouth-to-mouth to a dolphin.
I'm sorry you didn't succeed.
Bobby, the book, of course. What's next for you on your plate?
Well, I'm revising my Parachutes for Parents book, bringing out a new edition of that.
Would you come back on the show in the future to talk about parenting and family therapy? Because I just think that's worthy of a couple hours, especially with what people are going through now. Would you be game for that?
Absolutely, and I agree with you. It's really, really important. And I happen to have a system that really works. It was developed in a preschool in Honolulu. That's so popular, it would have 100 people on its waiting list all the time trying to get in.
Okay, we'll do that in about a month or two, okay?
Great.
All right, thanks, Bobby. I appreciate it. Have yourself a great Christmas.
Thank you. You too, and everybody listening.
Richard Serrett will be in tomorrow, and then just for your schedule, we will be live on Christmas Eve next Thursday, Christmas night next Friday. We've got some great shows for you, folks. So make sure after your family festivities, or we're your family, just keep your radio on your favorite station and listen to Coast to Coast. And then on New Year's and New Year's night, we're going to do the same thing. We're live on New Year's Eve. We're going to bring in 2021 together, and then we'll be live on New Year's Day, which will be that Friday as well. So just stay with us, and we'll be here for you, too. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.